Okay, so what are some bonding protocols to be used? Now we can break this down, but right now we're going to talk about some things that everybody in the practice can do. All staff members can do these things. Give cookies. Have them in your pocket. I recommend that every staff member have some cookies, and I'll show you in a moment what those look like, in your pocket all the time. And there's places to use them. I'll describe that in more detail in a minute. But we're giving an overview right now of these are tools. So one tool to put in your tool belt of how to bond pets and people to the practice is give the pet a cookie. Now, we're talking about very small bits of tasty food. For the average owner, if it was you and you went into the vet hospital and you saw people saying, can I give a little cookie? Oh, here's a little cookie. Would you be upset about that? If they ask first, I mean, if there's an allergy or something, although I think that's probably overrated. Allergies are dose dependent. A little tiny piece of something that's tasty, unlikely to have any lasting impact. I mean, there's some cases where that might be a problem, but in general, not a problem. Using the pet's name frequently. This is an important concept. Using the pet's name frequently builds bonding because the pet knows that name, knows that word, and hopefully thinks it's a good thing. And the more we use the pet's name and verbally speak it, particularly in a positive tone, we can invite puppy parties. Now, we have our parties on Monday nights. So one of the tools in your tool belt here is, instead of talking about puppy classes, you can call them that, but I think when you first introduce the concept, call them puppy parties. We want to invite your puppy to come to one of our puppy parties. Really? Wow, what's a puppy party? Doesn't that sound like fun? Come on. Anybody says, that sounds like fun. And it is fun. So by inviting them to come to the puppy party, that's any one of the classes, my advice to you is you have them come once, free, no charge, no obligation, they come and sit in on the puppy party. So the 15 minutes of the class, they can have the puppy play with the other puppies under supervision, and the rest of the time they just sit in the back and watch. If we can get them to do that, my experience is like 99% of the time they enroll in the class. Because it's fun, and they see the value of it. So this is one of the things we can do, is every member of the staff can invite these puppy and puppy owners to come. It's also bonding for the owner. Isn't it nice to be invited to a party? Whether you go or not, it's always nice to be invited. So it's actually building bonding on that level as well. Okay, so the dogs should be encouraged to come to daycare if you offer daycare. And I think every practice ought to offer at least puppy daycare because you got to run, right? One run, you can have 3 or 4 puppies in there during the day. You need to have some training and some supervision. Sometimes we have to switch them out and so forth. There's a little bit of that. I'll teach you how to do that in this class. Okay, we're going to mention the fact that we offer behavior medicine workups. And the behavior medicine workup is the medical aspect of it, and you may or may not offer the behavior consultation itself. Your practice may do it, or you might use someone by telephone to support you with that. But you can get that kind of support so that you can offer the service, and if you don't know, you just go and find out and come back. Prevent negative experiences at the hospital. What I'm suggesting as a part of your tool belt is you get your psyche to think preventive. If you're going to clean out that ear or do something that's uncomfortable, do a skin scraping on that little thing on the foot. Yeah? What we want to do is give them some medication, maybe a little bit of ACE promazine. No big deal. But those puppies, with just a little tap of ACE promazine, it messes up or mucks with their memory. Good! We don't want them to remember any bad stuff. We want them just only have good stuff. And as a veterinarian with good training, you can offer this to the client. Some people won't do it because it does cost more money. My advice is to make it relatively inexpensive, so it's not a big deal. Less than $20 would be great. But what you do is prevent them from having a bad experience. And if you have this as a mindset, as a philosophic approach to practice, we don't want them to have any bad experiences. That goes over well with clients. They often do it. I think it's the right thing to do.